And then take another breath and just let yourself come more deeply into the center of you. And you don't have to think about what happened this weekend. You don't have to plan to study anything, because your cells already know this. And you're just reminding them. So another deep breath in, and let your heart just feel what it is to have the love of the God inside, the love of the I Am, the One Source. And feel that moving around that heart area in your chest, and just enjoy that like a caress that's saying, I'm right here. This is where the goddess, the God, the creator lives. And this is where the teacher inside lives. The one with the wisdom that's bubbling up inside of you. The one with the grace that gives you the gifts of this human life, and your spiritual consciousness, the gift of your awareness. And take a breath and have a little moment of thanks to your old soul for bringing you into this time and into this place to receive all that has happened here this weekend. The messages, the aha moments, the community that you've found, the love in the room. Feel the star mothers around you, giving you their etheric hug, and the entourage of Kryon as they come together in a divine dance to close this day with a message.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. This is the conclusion of a two-day teaching event. And the channel that is being presented is mainly for those who are here in the room, who have gone through the teaching and will understand it far better than if you simply tuned in. And so it's specific. And yet, even in that attribute of specificity, there will be those who will learn. I want to talk about the teaching wheel. In December, a few months ago, in 2017, I opened the subject. And the reasoning behind this was more than simply to give you information about what Lemuria might have been like. It was to start exposing to the planet the absolute core teachings from the Source. The Source, which is what you would call God, a word that you put together, a word that you assigned a gender to. Use any word you wish. It's the central source. It's love. It's compassion. And it has a message for humans. And this message is the core information that was given in Lemuria. But what we have called those who could give it, the ascended beings, the angelic ones, name them anything you wish to, who sat in front of the children and the adults and gave information which was pure from the center. from the Creator. Prefaced with this, if you wish, dear ones, this is what you want, because this is from the source. Dear ones, this is what you need to know for this journey that you're about to take on the planet Earth. And so the principles that are taught in the teaching wheel become important for this age that you are in and listening to me within, because they help this to steer into the paradigm of the shift, to steer into the truth, a refresher course for old souls of what truly is important and what isn't. And if you've studied the wheel, which you have in these 2 days, dear ones, in front of me, if you've studied that, even a little, there's a theme. And the theme is benevolence and love and systems that are benevolent and soul groups and families. Every single message, every single spoke of the wheel, the numerology of the wheel, the meanings of all, the spaces, all of that has one message. You are known by God. And anything that doesn't show you this is not germane for the time. Don't be fooled by those who will come to you with ideas of doom and gloom and frustration and fear and drama and say, well, this is where you're going, because it isn't true. And there will be those even who call themselves old souls and light workers who will do that. And that's habit, dear ones. That's all it is. There'll be no dark purpose that they will do that. It's simply habit. The habit of an old energy. That's what this is for. So I'm going on record at the moment to give you the reasoning why in December I sat between two Lemurian women and gave the message that I did, to reacquaint you with the beauty of the central source that you come from, to reacquaint you with the purity of love from which all things have come. And some of you will resound to the information, even though it's different than what you think it may be, or that you've learned something that is different. And in that which is your own intuitive power, you can decide if it resounds, if it's correct, and if it makes any difference in the way you think. I'd love to simply continue the story as if I had the Lemurian women sitting next to me now. I don't need to pull on their kosh of those women because I was there. I was there. Although Kryon has never been a human being, that which you call Kryon, that group which you're hearing now, that soul group was here. It's almost like a cheering section for thousands of years watching what happened on other worlds happen here. Watching the DNA of an animal called human change to a sacred vessel that was magnificent and filled with God. That's the creation story. That's the one you learned even from the scriptures. A real shift, a change. And then everything started to move in a different way with free choice, knowledge, and the puzzle began. I want to present you with something as though we were right back in Hawaii. I want to tell you a little bit more about the mirror spoke. Now, this is germane only to those who are here and have studied with me, my partner, and my partner's partner today. The discussion about the mirror, profound it has been from all of you. For most here, old souls have learned about what it is that you reflect to others and even back to yourself. And the idea of mirroring God in you is primary. But this concept was completely and totally unknown and new. Core information to the innocents that sat as the children wanting to hear from that beautiful master mother. What is it that God has and wants you to know? And they took it to lengths beyond what you would think they would do. And there was ultra simplicity because it was the beginning of a teaching. For you, elegant, complex to some, and understood to them, not. Today you open a book and quote from it. Imagine the child who's never read anything. You don't open a book and read anything because you don't have the paradigm of reading. You don't have that paradigm of written language. You don't even have letters. That's how primitive they were, and open and ready and new for a Pleiadian mother to sit and say, this is what 23 chromosomes means. You're a part of a system of creation, and it's beautiful. And spoke by spoke until you get to the mirror. And when you get to the mirror, you're not all going to understand. Did you notice that one of the attributes called reflections of yourself was in the children's teaching, not the adult teaching? It's a concept that the kids loved because of what they did with it and what the Lemurian mother did with it, who was Pleiadian. The master consciousness of the teachers understood human nature. The human nature of the Lemurian, the beginning, understood because they had been there. They had worked with it. They were master teachers. And because of that, they knew what to do for self-teaching. The ahas that the kids would have. So let's start where we left off in Hawaii. Let's talk about Lemuria, and let's talk about the mirror. First of all, there were no mirrors in Lemuria. You know that, don't you? No glass, no metal. And so there was only one way to get a reflection. And of course, that was the water. Lemurians were very clever and very smart in the way they built things, very efficient, very practical, using all of the elements at the disposal, including even pieces of lava. And they had mirrors. A little awkward, perhaps, but here's how they did it. Slightly below ground, imagine an indentation that was also a disc-like indentation that was carefully smoothed. The Lemurians using their hands, working the puzzle to make it level and smooth, this indentation, so when they poured water in it, it would be perfect. And if you did it right, you could stand over the pool, this small pool. And if you did it right, you could see yourself perfectly. There were no ripples because there was no wind, because it was slightly below ground. But you couldn't really see well because they realized that the sky was not lighting them at all. And so all they saw in that self mirror they had, the one that was water, all they saw was a shadow and the sky. Then they quickly realized that this mirror that they had built works best at night. And so the same fluids used to create the hub that was lit that I told you about was then also used around this mirror of water. And at night, when they then would bend over and look at themselves, they would be illuminated. And they could see themselves clearly for the first time. Awkward it was to bend over this. In fact, you had to be held by your friends. That wasn't all that convenient. And so they built an apparatus. Very close to the ground, they did. Think of it as like a little ladder made from the wood of the trees they had that was sturdy, and they could lay prone on it. And it stretched over this water mirror. Naturally, they had to take their hair and pull it back so it would not hang in the way. Each one would climb upon the apparatus. They would inch themselves out over the mirror, fully lit, and they could gaze as long as they wanted to and see their reflection. As you might imagine, there were a lot of these, because this is what you'd want to do. It was unique. You couldn't really do it in the ocean, not really. And the pools by the sea were always filled with currents. But you could do it here because the water was completely and totally still. The wind was not blowing it around. It was a perfect, perfect mirror. The Pleiadian teachers instructed the children one at a time to gather around and play reflections of yourself. And one by one, the children, laughing and giddy with joy, would stretch themselves out and look at themselves. And the master teacher would say, "All right, everyone, quiet." And the one who looked in the mirror would be asked, "And what do you see?" And the children, being children, wouldn't say, "Well, I see a face." They would make up things. And the child would say, "I see a fish." And the Lemurian teacher would say, "You see a fish? All right, let's talk about the fish." And before the child could say, "Well, I was only pretending," they were a fish. And then the question would be, "What's the fish like that you see in the mirror?" And they would say, "It swims in the sea, and it has a family, and it's multicolored where we live, and it's beautiful. And sometimes the fish is sustenance to the village and keeps us alive, and it's a cycle because the fish have baby fish." And the child would just go on talking about what that fish meant. And then sooner or later, they all got the picture. That no matter what they said they were, stuck, and they had to explain it. And the reflections of yourself became the reflections of nature, of Gaia, of the sky, of beauty, of day, of night, and the stars, and every possible creature that walked there. And the reflections of yourself for the children became the reflections of everything that is. And once they got that idea, they pretended they were things that didn't exist, trying to even trick the Lemurian mothers who expected it. And then would start asking the questions on the imaginary animal that you see. Tell us where it lives, how it works, and what it does. And in the imagination of a child, everything they would make up enhanced the story. For they now were reflections of things that were invisible, or perhaps they hadn't seen yet in their creativity. They were part of the universe. They were part of creation. They were part of invisibility. They were multidimensional. Reflections of yourself was a children's game that they loved. It later became the reflections of mirroring God in you. It wasn't much of a stretch when they became adults to continue talking like this, even though they didn't have that which was the fun exercise. Instead, those who were going to be shamans would be talking about the mirroring in themselves of nature, of what they knew God was or believed God was or the central source was, to apply to themselves. And with all of the learning from the other spokes, it gave them joy. It's simple, but it's beautiful. I wanted to tell you that so you knew what it was and you knew how it was applied. So many of these teachings that seem to be above the intellect of a child came with exercises. It came with revelations, and it came with fun. There's no better way to teach a child an intellectual truth than to give them an exercise which is fun, that they wish to do over and over, but which has a profound meaning, because as they grow, they'll get it. Some of them get it right away. Oh, I see. I see. I really am the fish. I'm one with the fish. And then some of them said, let's give it a name. And so there were many fish in the ocean with names in Lemuria. Interesting, isn't it, how culture sometimes shapes reality. The culture that you are in, called humanism right now, shapes the answers to your questions. And you don't even know it. You don't even understand that you are choosing certain logical things based upon that which is real to you, but that is cultural. I just want to give you a little fun explanation of how culture might shape what goes on around you and how you might feel about things. I'm going to paint something to you in your mind of a culture that exists on another planet. Now, I'm going to talk about a past culture, and I'm going to talk about it in light ways, and that means in humorous ways, because you're going to enjoy this and you're going to wonder if it's possibly true. And then you're going to get it from this fun exercise as the children that you are. Imagine a culture, and the logic goes like this. The older a human is, the better they are. And when you take a look at who has the most knowledge, who is the most patient, who is the most loving, and who is the wisest, it would be belonging to those who had lived the longest. Therefore, anyone who had lived a long time was seen by that culture as above the others, way above the others. And so the culture truly then worshiped age. And that produced a whole myriad of industries that would mirror age. And you'd go to the store and you'd see all the makeup. And you'd select the one that made you look the oldest. And it was good. And there were some makeups and some lipsticks and some mascaras and all of that. Men and women that really emulated older skin. They loved it. And of course, the ones that did it the best are the ones they purchased. It was marketing. And on their media, you could see it. The ones that looked the oldest won. The ads were special. They had special names. You can imagine what they would be. You know, seniordom, old makeup for you. All of these things to make you look like a senior. And the older you could look, the more respected you were, even though they knew you weren't old. Does that sound familiar? Imagine such a thing. In this culture, you actually have that in another way. Against all odds, to some of you here, the young people have decided to make their clothes look old. And the older their clothes can look, the better they are. So you have old-looking clothes on young people, and that's a paradigm. It's a culture. But if you had this culture where age was respected so much that everyone wanted to look like a senior, can you imagine the hair products? How many shades of gray? They were all great. And everyone was gray. Now, this seems humorous and funny. It exists, or did, at one time in a culture on a planet, in this galaxy. And you'd say, well, how quaint and how interesting. And the only reason I give it to you is, can you imagine now asking them some questions about life, about spiritual things, about how things might work, and the answers would be completely and totally twisted to represent what they believe is best. I give you this only to show you that paradigm shift really does change what you think and how you think. And so we invite you yet again to get out of a box that you're in now, where you think you understand the way things work and what is important. A box that wipes away supposedly everything that you were taught. It's impossible, dear ones, truly to do that. But you can work at it to a degree that you'll come to as neutral place as you can be to ask some of the questions of yourself, to look in the mirror and say, who am I? Without seeing old. To look in the mirror and see God in yourself, a reflection of yourself back that says, indeed, I may be a fish. I may be a tree. Because everything is one. And the systems that I think are separate are not. And the paradigm that I grew up in, and what I learned, and what is taught as good or not good, is cultural and temporary. And the real truth is what I see in the mirror. It's a mirror that reflects the Creator and me. And together with my higher self, I will go from this place, you might say, and I will mirror what I see here as God everywhere I go. Not caring what the culture thinks, not caring at all what I've been taught, but instead caring about compassion, kindness, reaction to others, reaction of self, seeing the mirror that I see in mine in everyone else. Projecting the energy of love being compassionate where others are not, having the wisdom of reflection. Some of you will understand this message, some of you will not. But that's the way of it, dear ones. That's the free choice of it. I've given a specific message about a specific spoke in the teaching wheel for those specifically here. But I'm telling my partner that this also should be put out for others, because there will be others eventually who will study the spoke, who will see and understand some of the cryptic things I just gave you. Before I say what I always say in closing, I will remind you yet again the purpose of channeling at this time on earth in the shift is the same purpose as the reason we give you the teaching wheel. Core truths of love, compassion, kindness, benevolence is the way human nature will become. It's inevitable as you study yourselves and evolve that light will guide the way, that it won't happen immediately, and there will be impatience and even those eventually who will say it's a joke, that it's not happening. Even as they stand among light workers who are evolving, they won't see what you see. And I say this so that you get ready for dissension, those who will not believe, light workers who will drop away because it's too hard, but that pursuing old souls in pursuit of this truth, those who pursue this, will find a core that will guide them, and as I said earlier today, will expand and explode an awakening where you can never go back. And truly it'll extend your life and you'll see that. And truly it'll change what you thought was unchangeable and you'll see that. And so it becomes more personal than anything else, so that no one can ever talk you out of this truth. No one can ever talk you out of love. And that is the core. And so it is.